Welcome to this special eight-show series on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. What are you eating, and why should you care? Throughout this broadcast, Mrs. Green examines how true preservation of the planet starts with your fork. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And remember, we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. Thank you for joining us today for the fifth of our eight special series on healthy eating. As the intro said, what am I eating and why should I care? It all starts with your fork. We greatly appreciate our sponsors, and a special thanks today to the sponsor of this show, Chapman Tucson. Their Honda and Volkswagen dealerships sell a lot of the cleanest burning cars on the road today, and my VW TDI is just one example of those. So if you are in Tucson or have access to the internet, check them out at chapmantucson.com. As I said, we are very appreciative of their support. So I really am thrilled about this guest today, and I want to take a deep breath, and I want to say that sincerely, because Dawn Underaga from the Environmental Working Group is an author of an incredible shopping guide. It's good food on a tight budget. I think it's something that comes up in my walk as Mrs. Green frequently. And to just tell you a little bit about Dawn, she is a nutritionist. She has a MS in nutrition communication from Tufts University and a BS in nutrition scientist and toxicology from UC Berkeley. So those are some very fine credentials, Dawn. Clap, clap, really impressive. And after hours, I just had to add this because I read this somewhere on the website. Dawn can be found chasing after her son or teaching nutrition or kids cooking classes. So Dawn, welcome to Mrs. Green's World. Thanks for being here and thanks for the important work you're doing to get us all to eat healthier.
Thank you so much. I'm so thrilled to be here.
Okay, let's just start with a brief, an overview, a sentence or two about the Environmental Working Group. It is my go-to site in my walk as Mrs. Green. So why don't you tell people, if they don't know, and why wouldn't they, about what the Environmental Working Group is all about?
Well, I think there's this kind of overlap between your work at Mrs. Green's World and our work. You know, you said in the intro, you're preserving the planet, and that starts with your fork. And we definitely agree with that. There's a really important connection between people's health and the health of health of the planet, and, you know, where our food comes from and what we eat has an important tie in there. But the mission of Environmental Working Group is to use the power of information to protect public health, human health, and the environment as well. So we see a definite overlap.
And, you know, one of the things that I hope will be the outcome of the show today is to debunk the myth, which your guide does, that eating healthy is more expensive, it's out of my budget, it's unaffordable for most people. And if people take the time to read this, that won't work for them as an excuse to eat junk food anymore. I mean, it's really a very comprehensive look. It's like, oh yeah, take that one out. So why don't we start by, I think it's always good to give a ground, you know, lay the groundwork for the scope of your study. It was quite comprehensive. You didn't study 10 of each thing. You studied something like 1,200 individual foods.
Right. And we have an extensive methodology, and I'll go into that in a second. But just to clarify, you know, we definitely recognize for a lot of people, you know, at some point in when the economy is down, you know, there's 1 in 4 people on federal nutrition assistance program each month. So there's definitely a lot of people where, you know, it's a really, really, we're talking about, you know, $5 to $6 a day, and making, putting good food on the table for that budget is really, it's a challenge. And so we want to acknowledge that, first of all, but then we want to empower people to, you know, it is possible. It's a really thin margin of being able to do it, but it is possible. And, you know, here are some real world tips. Here are some resources to help you achieve that, because our kind of food environment isn't really set up for good food on a tight budget, as you said, yes.
And I think it's very respectful that you pointed it out that way. I didn't want to sound so blasé. It's very hard for people that are getting federal assistance. And who of us could eat for $6 a day. I mean, it's almost, right. I can hardly comprehend it. And large families, it's about $5 a person. It gets worse if you have a larger family. So with that in mind, the project aims to help people with modest food budgets.
Exactly. Right.
And find the healthiest foods.
Yes. And so we wanted to take, you know, EWG uses the power of information, so we really wanted to take a science-based approach and, you know, kind of geek out on the numbers, like, come on, how can we do this? And so we looked at 1,200 foods, 19 different nutrients. We used national average prices, so some items on this chayote, I haven't seen that in my marketplace, it is a national average price for the... So you have to keep that in mind. That some places it's going to be higher, some places it's going to be lower. And then we're kind of the first to combine this systematic look with environmental health concerns as well. So mercury in fish, pesticide residues in our produce. You know, how do our protein choices what kind of greenhouse gas emissions are associated with them? And kind of put that all together into here's a really pretty comprehensive look at, all the kind of considerations that come into play when you're trying to make a good food on a tight budget.
And, you know, we did this whole food series as part of a Kickstarter. And when we were doing the brainstorming for the Kickstarter, we went backwards and backwards and backwards about the topic we wanted to cover. And food is the one, because it is an integrated approach to everything that happens on the planet. You said that at the, top of the show. So let's talk about the content of the guide. Not everybody will go to the site and download it. If there are people that are listening on their computers and they want to go to ewg.org/goodfood, it's really going to be helpful. But when Dawn and I talked about this and preparing for the show, I think it's a great idea to go through the topics that you picked. We'll talk about fruits and we'll talk about vegetables and grains. And then we have to talk about cheese. We do.
Yes. Nobody likes to talk about cheese.
We just want to say how much we love it, but that's going to be some good information that you provided for us here. So let's start with fruits.
Yeah. Well, I think, fruits are the original dessert. You have an apple, you have a apricot, you have a tangerine. They're super portable and delicious, and they have that little sweet reward. And I think now more often when we think of a dessert, we think of cookies and cakes and honey buns or
gelato.
gelato, right? If you're on a tight budget, there is no budget for extras like that. And really, those extras are just added sugars, which aren't really good for our health. Fats, maybe some trans fats if you're looking at a processed dessert. So the research is strong. Fruits and vegetables are amazing for your health, preventing cancer, all these powerful antioxidants. So we really want to, free up our budget to spend more on fruits and vegetables. Most people don't think of their fruits and vegetables requiring, about 40% of the chunk of how much we should spend on our groceries each week. Because we put such a big chunk into processed foods when really, we should be eating things that are minimally processed and, kind of straight from the earth. It was kind of a surprise when, we broke it down that fruits make a healthy snack for about the cost of a postage stamp per serving, for one cup serving. They're so great on so many different levels. They'll fill you up. They got that fiber. They've got those antioxidants. They've got all those great nutrients, vitamin C, potassium. Great. So just really kind of encouraging people to, back when you're thinking of snacks that are great to throw in a kid's lunchbox, or for your work, if that 10 o'clock, 10:30, if feeling like you need a snack, or that 2:30 pick me up, reach for a piece of fruit, and you can really do it for, a very affordable price of a postage stamp. So those were kind of our top ideas for fruits, and also to, don't overlook the melons. I think that was my biggest takeaway. You kind of look at a watermelon, you're like, oh, that's that's, you know, that seems a little bit pricey, but per serving, melons are great, and they're really, you know, cost effective.
And it can feed
delicious.
A family for all
right,
desserts.
Right, exactly.
And company.
Exactly.
Now, there are two
right,
things
right.
in terms of this, the content for this section that I think were noteworthy also, and it kind of an overview is no matter what of the things that are recommended, people should be aware of the EWG guide, the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15.
Oh, yes.
Because you want to look and see what you're eating and how much insecticide, you know, pesticide,
right.
herbicide has on it. So that's kind of couched in all of this.
Right.
That's
yes.
one piece.
Yeah, all the fruits and vegetables are on a list. We've, you know, we also measured against how much pesticide residue they have. And so on some of them, we suggest for organic, but most of them should be cleaner as well.
And I just have to comment, it's like kind of like press pause about the comprehensiveness of this report, because you do put some asterisks on things and you say to
yes.
people, beware of peaches, they may have more pesticides. And then orange juice, kids shouldn't be drinking 4 cups of orange
no.
juice a day.
No. Yes. Yes, the American Academy of Pediatrics is very clear that we should be limiting our juice intake. But you know, for a long time we thought of juice as kind of a really, really healthy beverage. The more we learn about it, the more we realize that, you know, it's the intact fruit with the fiber that is really, really great for us. And that, you know, it's easy to drink a lot of orange juice and get a lot of sugar in. And it's, you know, harder to eat 5 oranges.
Right.
So, yeah, we
Which
definitely
just,
encourage.
So just be really careful about that. And where did you weigh
right.
in? How did you weigh in on dried fruit? That, again, is easy,
yeah.
great to pack in your lunch. But what should buyer
right.
beware or consumer beware of when it comes to
well,
fruit?
Well, you know,
fruit.
one serving is a quarter cup, which, you know, when you measure that out, it's not a lot.
It's not very much at all.
No, it's not very much at all. You know, if you mix it in with some nuts, which are also a protein, fiber, vitamin, mineral powerhouse, you know, that becomes a little bit more significant. But really, you know, we want the focus to be on fresh, frozen, you know, the whole intact fruit as much as possible. And the dried fruits, again, you know, they pack in a lot of sugar in a small amount, and they're easy to overeat. So we just encourage, you know, Keep an eye on how much you're eating there.
And another fun thing that you did, which I think people, consumers, and I hope everybody who listens to the show and anybody who listens and watches my Facebook posts, the top tips. We mentioned one. It's the EWG Shopper's Guide to Pesticides and Produce. So very important. You don't want to be making yourself and your kids and your family sicker. And then share
right.
with us the thing about, it's. I loved it, it said, love lemons. And what about cutting and freezing fresh fruit? Does that in any
yeah.
way compromise the, you know, the nutritional value of the fruit?
No, I mean, there've been some studies showing that it's, you know, in terms of if it's coming right out of the field and getting frozen, then, you know, it might be nutritionally than something that's been on the shelf for a really long time. Of course, when you freeze something, there's always kind of that environmental impact, so we pay attention to that. But if you're, you know, one of the great ways to get produce at a good price is to, you know, buy it in season. And when you buy something in season, you might buy, you know, some a pound of those tomatoes that are just about to go.
Those
peaches. Yes, they're so good. They're just about to go, and you really kind of have to find a way to preserve them, and that's a great way to, you know, save on the cost of the delicious and super nutritious food.
And cuts down on food waste, and it's a win-win.
Right. It definitely. So, you know, freezing fresh fruit, put it on a you know, tray in the freezer, separate it out so that it doesn't get clumped up together. And when it's frozen, throw it in a container, and then you have, you know, those peak season peaches ready to go when you want to throw them in your oatmeal or in a smoothie or on top of yogurt or something like that. So that's a great tip, because you hate that when you're like, oh, it's so amazing, but I'm not going to get through it all. So how can we preserve it? And that's an important strategy when you're I think the overall strategy when you're on a tight budget is being on a tight budget is just kind of licensed to be more creative and actually kind of maybe go back to some of the wisdom of our ancestors that kind of gets lost. And so that's that's just another one of those things that our grandmothers would probably be like, oh, of course you do that.
That's right. And if you haven't looked at the site, which I'm, it's fun because you say things that made me smile. Make a fruit bowl for your kids. When my right. mother did fun surprises in my lunchbox, I never forgot it. Neither did my kids. So it doesn't right. cost any more to make a melon ball or cut something up in the shape of a star. I mean, kids yeah. love that stuff. It makes it more fun.
Right.
What about Definitely. That afternoon snack that every kid who comes home from school, or even if you pick them up right after work, that they're looking for? What do you say to people?
Right.
Give them this.
Yeah, I mean, cut up fresh fruit and vegetables are great to have. You know, the studies have shown if you put them out on the counter when the kids are doing the, I'm hungry, when's dinner coming? If you have them cut up and laying out, their kids actually eat whole serving before dinner, and how can you get them to eat carrot sticks or snow peas? Otherwise, you know, they're great with a dip like hummus or bean dip. It's a great way to kind of give yourself a little bit more time to get that dinner ready, but actually, you know, increase their healthy food for the day.
So that's that page is great. Fruit makes most people like it. There's something you can find. Kids mostly like something. So let's go on to the darker side of eating healthy. And I'm kind of kidding, is vegetables. Because do any of us eat enough vegetables? And how does that work out? And you recommended some that I'm sitting there saying, oh, can I eat turnip greens? I don't know.
So. Well, those are great to throw into a stew. That's another thing that, you know, the more you get into this, the more you realize just how much our ancestors knew about hearty stews and cabbage coleslaws. I mean, these are great foods that are just, you know, a great stew, a great soup. They just pack in so much nutrition. You know, and when you're sick and you're eating that soup, it's just like, oh, there's something there about that. So, yes, turnip greens, maybe kind of hard to eat straight up raw. Maybe, you know, less of a hard thing to get to slip by when they're part of a really, you know, great stew or soup. And we have some recipes in the back of the book and available for download online where you can kind of throw those into the barley stew or slip them by in a...
Kind of disguise it, but get the nutrition anyway.
Not necessarily disguise it, but you know, it make it so it's not so front and center and you're just sitting in front of a bowl of turnip greens trying to get them down, yeah.
Yeah, here, kids, here's your afternoon snack. Not. It's like, we're not doing that.
No, but we do have some kid-approved recipes in the back, and I can vouch for them with my two-year-old. I've made up some roasted vegetables are just... I mean, I was not a fan of Brussels sprouts, but you roast them up, throw some spices in there. Fennel seed is something that in particular seems to go really well with Brussels sprouts. Just a little oil, salt, roast them for 20, 30 minutes, and you know, you can really turn something, you know, a little bitter, a little bit hard to... not everyone is a big fan of Brussels sprouts, but you can increase your audience by roasting a lot of different vegetables.
And I
know that my son does eat those. So
I have older kids, but they, when we go out to eat now in L.A., they order Brussels sprouts as an appetizer. So they're working on me, Mrs. Green. They're saying, come on, Mrs. Green, you're going to like these Brussels sprouts. And I'm saying, okay, let's work on that. Sea salt is some kind of magic ingredient for me. We have about 2 minutes, so we go to break before we finish the vegetable section. But some of the things that I do love on your vegetable section are sweet potatoes, very affordable, very nutritious. Carrots are in there, tomatoes when you can get them. Calabasa, that's a really good thing when they're in season because they're not expensive at all.
Right. And yeah, you can feed a lot of people with some squash. It's so delicious, and definitely.
And you kind of say limit a little bit the starchy vegetables, which of course I love, corn and lima beans and potatoes. But just try to limit those a little bit. Okay, we're gonna take
Potatoes are the number one vegetable in America, and actually, it's more like fried potatoes, more like French fried potatoes.
I know that is not a vegetable.
Yeah, We acknowledge them. They have potassium. They're good. They have vitamin C, but we definitely want to make room for these other vegetables, which pack, you know, all of these nutrients and antioxidants and things that are really great for us too. So
really
want to kind of make
thing.
Room by cutting out.
Okay, we're going to come right back, and we have lots more topics to talk about. We're going to talk about grains, protein, dairy, and some of the other big things that Dawn's working on. Dawn Underaga, who is a nutritionist by trade, Tufts University, a BS Nutritional Science and Toxicology from UC Berkeley. Please stay here with me. We're having fun and learning about how to eat healthy.
Think blue. Think beyond green. Think TDI Clean Diesel Technology, one part of the Volkswagen Think Blue initiative, our goal of creating and encouraging eco-conscious products and behaviors. This is Mrs. Green. A car that can drive a long way should still make you want to, well, drive a long way. Volkswagen Jetta's TDI Clean Diesel is a high-mileage vehicle that lets you stop at the filling station less often so you can spend more time enjoying the road. See Chapman VW today for a very special offer on the 2014 Jetta TDI.
Bookman Sports Exchange is now open at 3330 East Speedway. We're taking our passion and experience of buying, selling, and trading books and music and applying it to the world of sporting goods, outdoor, and fitness gear. We are giving you another way to save money on the things that you love, Bookman style. Remember, Bookman Sports Exchange, sporting goods, outdoor, and fitness gear, now open daily from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Speedway east of Country Club. Check out bookmans.com for more info.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. Our guest today is Dawn Underaga from the Environmental Working Group. Dawn is a nutritionist. She has an MS in Nutrition Communication from Tufts University and a BS in Nutritional Sciences and Technology from UC Berkeley. And very importantly, she's a mother who feeds her son healthy food, and I love that. She's giving us lots to think about on things that really matter, how to eat healthy on a tight budget, which is a global challenge. And before we go back to the show, I want to give some special mention to several of our major backers for the Kickstarter project, because one of the rewards was your name and Mrs. Green together on the show. You helped make this our Kickstarter project very successful. What am I eating and why should I care? It all starts with your fork. Bruce and Lynn Dusenberry, Rosie Coberline, Jimmy Lovelace, Lisa Hawkins, and Kelly Butler, thank you so much for your support. You helped make this possible. So let's go on, Dawn, to grains. Is there anything else you want to say about vegetables? People should check out the pages. I'm going to keep saying that throughout the show, because there are lots more pieces of little jewels, top tips.
Yeah. I think, you know, when you're getting those vegetables that are just about to go bad, just to freeze little pieces of them into a container in your fridge and then put them together to make a soup, that's a really great way when you're kind of, oh, I know I'm not going to be able to get to the end of that kale, you know, chop it up, throw it in the freezer. You can save food, and food waste is a big issue, as you mentioned earlier. Some estimates have said like 40% of our food goes to waste. So, yeah. That's an important one.
And then you said stock up on long-lasting vegetables. There are some things that will last forever if you put them in a cool, dry place, and usually a dark place, I think, too. So that's another one. And then you talk about adding healthy flavor. I mean, the thing about that makes kale edible for me sometimes is what is put on it.
Right.
Not necessarily the kale itself. You can tell that I'm a work in progress.
And you know, that's another thing I was kind of surprised. Parsley is this amazing dark green vegetable. You know, not all lettuces are considered dark green vegetables, but parsley is considered a dark green vegetable. And, it's not a very expensive green either. So, and it's also a nice way to kind of add a little bit of flair to your food. You know, when you're cooking on a tight budget, you may not feel like you have room for like sun-dried tomatoes to throw in there. But, you know, a little bit of parsley on top can really kind of make it feel like, this is special. Green onions are another thing that can add great flavor, aren't really expensive, and kind of make it feel like I've made a meal that I can be proud of.
And those are two great inexpensive tips, because they don't cost a lot of money. In the store, you can see them, and it's not a very high cost item. And now I know when I get parsley on my plate in restaurants to chop it up and put it in my food. Don't throw it away. Okay. Let's go on to grains, because I think grains are another area where a lot of nutrition for a low cost, but you also have to be careful. I think this is one where you have to be very vigilant. So let's talk about what you found out about grains and what you recommend.
Yeah, great. And I think the first step is usually for a lot of people. I think I read, you know, half of children have cereal for breakfast, and usually cold cereal.
Right.
And I was most surprised to see that it's actually twice the cost per serving cold cereals than oatmeal. And cold cereals also tend to be packed with sugar, as
processed,
we found in our
fairly well. Right.
Right, as well. Some of them even contain trans fat. They hide that in there. You know, just like Fruit Loops still has trans fats. Oh my God, are you kidding me? You're still giving children trans fats. Everyone knows you're not supposed to do that.
You're still giving your kids Fruit Loops?
No,
wake
I'm
up.
Not giving
I'm
my
kidding.
Kids.
It's like, oh
well,
my God.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, obviously. But when people do, I mean, they put claims on the front of those packages, and people forget that they're, you know, that, you know, they've got these kid-friendly things. So yeah, it's the cereal aisle is a mess. We did a cereal report in 2011. You know, the worst cereal was, you know, 56% sugar.
Oh.
So we're actually doing a revamp of that report to come out to see if things have gotten a lot better. And preview, and unsurprising preview, no, they haven't gotten much better.
No, but Cheerios did come out with a non-GMO, so it was like that was a big news day a couple of months ago. It's like, wow.
Right.
Okay.
Right, but they still add sugar to Cheerios.
Yeah.
So we really love on the oatmeal. Shredded wheat is not a bad choice either. And then you can get some puffed grain cereals that don't add sugar to them. Those are you know, good choices as well. But really, just you really can't beat oatmeal for a grainy breakfast in terms of protein cost, half the cost of a cereal. So that's another great thing. And you also want to be looking for, yeah.
I don't think we can say this too much throughout the show. My husband laughs sometimes because he does a lot of the grocery shopping, and he'll come home and he'll say, "I spent half my time in the grocery store." Reading the labels, which is not a bad idea. Once you do that homework, you know what to buy, but you strongly recommend read the nutrition facts. Is it low in sugar?
Right.
Is it high in fiber? Is it low in sodium? And I think that was just another reaffirmation of do your homework and know what you're putting in your body and what's on your fork.
Right. Definitely. And formulations change, especially if you're, you know, getting foods that are processed. So you kind of always have to be checking the nutrition facts. What once might be okay might change over time.
What about, you know, kids, you put them ready to go to school on the bus and they're amped up with sugar. Isn't that going to be like the groggy sugar high at about 10 o'clock when it went, you know, there's something really big to that too. You want your kids to be awake till noon.
Right. Definitely. And that's just another reason why it's important to get a breakfast that's got some fiber, has some protein, and doesn't have a whole lot of sugar in it. And that's just another pitch for oatmeal.
Oatmeal, I know, and I love oatmeal. I actually do love oatmeal, and I can eat it pretty much with nothing on it. I don't eat it very often, but this was a whole good reminder for me. And then another thing in your tips, which I thought was fun, are you ready for something new? Isn't everybody? Try quinoa instead of rice. And I thought that was a really good tip.
Right.
And you
yes,
have recipes.
Definitely. And another great one, we do have recipes. I'm not sure if we have a quinoa recipe, actually, but we do have it incorporated into other like soups and stews. But another good thing that I found when I was, you know, writing the guide is like, okay, barley's a top grain here. All right, I'm gonna try to make some things with barley, and I actually found that's another great option for rice. And my husband, who is not necessarily the whole grain fiend, he was like, "What is this? It's so good! It's got this kind of deliciousness," and you know, so you know, mixing things up like that, and you find, you kind of surprise yourself as you're kind of enjoying it. Yes.
Yes, and that crunchy feeling is always good, too. I love things to take to taste nutty. We're trying all kinds of things here out in Mrs. Green's world these days, and I'm like, what am I eating? I know I should care. It's really important to read those labels and to find things that are affordable and that I know I'm doing a better job. So if there isn't anything else you want to say about that category with grains, which feel free.
I think just the buying in bulk, or you know, from the bulk bins, is a great way. And you know, you can mix brown and white rice together because sometimes brown rice, well, a lot of times brown rice it doesn't come in the 5-pound bags for super cheap. So that can be a good way to kind of get the fiber.
And let me ask you this, and I can handle the truth, okay? Because I have changed my snacking patterns. So if you're going, I eat more like pumpkin seeds and sunflower seeds. What I was eating were the horrible but delicious almonds that were smoked with salt on them from...
Yeah,
and I'm like, okay. I had a guest on a show who just said, ixnay on those processed almonds. And if you're going to think you're healthy, eat raw almonds, not the highly processed. You know, I could eat a bowl of the... Everybody says, oh, these are really good, but not for you.
Oh, yeah. And my husband is a nut fiend too, and I and my son as well. We all love all the nuts in our household, and I kind of sneak it by when I get like peanuts, I'll mix them half salted and unsalted.
That's great.
If I get the roasted, I'll mix half raw. And so you're kind of, as you're going through, you're getting the little nuggets of pleasure, and you can kind of wean yourself off of them that way.
And you're
because
moving
raw,
forward.
Raw almonds are delicious. Yeah.
And that actually goes in the protein section, but I just didn't want to forget it. So if we can. Yeah, it does. But I always think of it as I shouldn't think of it as a grain, but it's a great source of protein, and it's better than eating chocolate in the middle of the afternoon. So let's go on to protein, because this is another one that's a big, huge issue with the plant-based diet people, the cruelty-free people. What are you saying about, you know, the mercury in seafood? Let's talk about, tell us everything you want to tell us about protein and what we'd be eating and how we can do it affordably and healthy.
Right. And I think, you know, our guide, the Meat Eater's Guide, was a great way to kind of talk about protein choices, because, you know, some people are just not ready or want to go all plant-based. And, you know, so we have to think about, you know, how can we do that, you know, with minimizing our greenhouse gas emissions with our choices and kind of mixing things up. And I think that's the kind of main takeaway in the protein, in the protein section.
Right.
It's just to kind of mix things up. You know, there's a seafood category, there's a beans category, there's a nuts category, and there's a meats category. And, you know, don't just get it all from one section. You know, you definitely want to mix it up and try to eat lower, in terms of, the greenhouse gas emissions, and we have a great chart in our Meat Eater's Guide to talking about, you know, which meats are kind of have the most impact, and we took the ones that had the most impact off our list.
In terms of carbon footprint and how much water it takes to produce a pound and stuff like that.
Right.
So
yes,
the grain
that needs to be. Yeah.
Right. I am going to ask you at the end of the show what some of the big shockers were for you. So is it okay with you if I tell you what the big shocker for me was on the protein
page? Oh, yes. Go for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
The big shocker for me is that goat is the world's most commonly eaten meat.
Yes.
I almost fell over. I'm like, what? Goat? Who eats goat? Well, that's very kind of, you know, the whole American focus on us. I don't want to say narcissistic, but we're the center of the universe. There's a lot of people in the world that don't live in the United States, and I'm assuming it's them because I don't know anybody.
Yeah, but even I wrote this when we were working on this guide. I was in, you know, living in Washington, D.C., and that's where this is. And of course, people were giving me all kinds of grief. They're like, go. Oh, you're talking about goat. And then there were, you know, like three or four people in the office who was like, oh, you can just get it down the corner. It's right at the corner store.
I eat goat all the time.
Right.
That was a big one.
And then there were people, you know, people saying, oh, yeah, that's part of the traditional one of the traditional meats we eat in our culture, and then there are other people who are saying, oh yeah, I just saw that on some super fancy menu in, you know, some super fancy restaurant. So, you know, if the goat is you know, it's a great meat, and it, you know, the world's most commonly eaten meat. So goats are great for grazing and getting rid of weeds and stuff like that. So, and in terms of red meats, it's one of the better, more nutritious ones.
It just surprised me. It was great.
Yes. And one of the most nutritious ones, which is not on the list because the cost can be prohibitive, but in terms of red meat, is actually venison or deer. And if you're a hunter, that's actually one of the most nutritious red meats out there.
One of my friends told me recently she eats buffalo, and I'm like, good for you. That's great. Yeah. Where do you get buffalo? It's okay.
Yeah.
In L.A., that's where. Okay,
right.
What about the... you know, I just want to add for my own personal walk that even when you're eating these, looking at, you recommend chicken and turkey, they are less expensive, remove the skin, both light and dark meat, remove the skin, goat. Be careful and read a little bit about the cruelty-free issue, because to me that's a carbon, that's a universal impact, that it is a little bit more expensive, but, you know, trade in something else if you can consider the cruelty-free aspect as well. I think it's important to bring that up.
There's lots of great certifications out there, like Animal Welfare Approved, Global Animal Partnership. Organic is another great one. And they also, you know, consider antibiotic use, which is something in kind of more industrial production that is a big public health impact, and we worry about resistant bacteria developing, and so we don't want our meat choices to be contributing in that way either.
Right,
so those are,
and you mentioned that on the site. It's very, very comprehensive. You really integrated the approach. And then another thing I want to ask you about is, why does soaking help save money, dried beans? Why does that help save money?
Well, there's dry beans are much cheaper, than canned.
Right.
And you can also control the sodium that you're putting in there, which you know we want to pay attention to salt. And then also, you know, we're not too fond of BPA, which is the can liner on cans as well.
So definitely not fond of BPA. You're so right. We don't like that. So soak the beans, and I think that helps to. They cook faster if you soak them, right? So that would help save money.
If you soak them overnight,
yeah. Okay. Right. And if you use canned beans, it saves time to rinse them before using them to get all of that awful stuff off of them. I think those are really, really good, healthy ideas that you added too. Very comprehensive again. So we have about 3 minutes before we go to break, and we can break this segment up, but we have to talk about dairy. Because there's a lot of really good information. Let's go on to the next one, unless you have something else to add about protein.
Well, we don't want to forget about fish.
Fish. We didn't say enough about fish.
Yeah, both the fish and nuts and seeds have omega-3 fatty acids, which are really great, and we want to, you know, try to mix up our choices by incorporating them. But we also need to worry about mercury in fish, which comes from our coal-fired plants producing electricity for us. So, but it ends up in our fish, so it's kind of an impact of our lifestyle. So we want to choose the fish that doesn't have that's lower on the food chain, so that it doesn't have that accumulation of mercury in there.
And another great partner of yours, I'm sure, because I've talked to them and had them on the show, is the people at Seafood Watch. They have a great guide, and you can get it. It's a seafood lover's guide. You can download it. You can put it on an app for your phone and put in the zip code wherever you are and say what it is safe, and if you should be eating croaker or tilapia in the area in which you are visiting. So it's... But that was a really good thing. And I skipped over the fish because I'm allergic to it. So I don't really care what anybody has to say about fish. And I'm so kidding.
So you're loving on your walnuts.
Of course I care. I'm loving on those nuts that I can't have anymore. But thank God I am a bean lover. And I think that is one answer. If people do eat more beans and legumes, it's a very healthy and less expensive way to eat healthy on a budget, on a really tight budget.
And who doesn't love a lentil soup? I mean, that's
I know. And there's, you know, Myra Goodman, who's a good buddy of yours, and I talk about her on the show a lot. She wrote that book Straight from the Earth, and there is a yellow pea soup recipe in there. Holy smokes. With curried pea soup. And I actually put that on my Instagram because it was all that. Okay, so we have 1 minute left, and let's just frame for coming back. Because when we come back, we're going to talk about dairy, and I promise not to forget that we're going to talk about cheese, what good dairy is, what we shouldn't be eating, the types of yogurt, and some of your top tips on that. And then we might not get to cooking fats and oils and staples and spices or just quickly, because I want to talk to you more about some of your surprises and things about you yourself in doing this study that came up for you.
Yes.
Okay. Great. So everybody, you're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. This is our fifth of our 8 special series on healthy eating. I don't know about you, time is flying because I'm having fun and I'm learning a lot. So please stay here with us, and Dana will be right back. Dawn Underaga.
Join us for a new Mrs. Green's World episode every Saturday at 12 noon Arizona time at MrsGreensWorld.com. All of our past shows are available as on-demand podcasts at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. Mrs. Green's World is a proud member of the Dream Vision 7 and Glimmerglass Radio Networks. If you have questions about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. More Mrs. Green's World next.
Hi there, this is Mrs. Green with some pretty impressive news about the VW Jetta TDI. It's got a turbocharged clean diesel engine, it's 90% cleaner than previous diesel engines, it gets 609 miles on one tank of gas, more than the Prius. That's from Tucson, Arizona to San Diego and halfway back. And it's got an amazing 6-speed Tiptronic transmission. See Chapman VW today for a very special offer on the 2014 Jetta TDI or visit ChapmanTucson.com.
You already know the Habit Store has cabinets, appliances, and paint, but did you know that we have contemporary and vintage furnishings? You might find a gorgeous new sofa offered at 50% off retail price or an antique mahogany dresser priced to sell. You might also find some great weekly specials on the Red Tag Sale. Keep up with the bargains through Facebook, Twitter, and our monthly newsletter. The Habit Store hours are Monday through Friday 9 to 5, Saturdays 8 to 4, and you'll find us on Grant Road just off I-10 in Tucson, Arizona.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And thank you for joining us today for the fifth of our 8-part series on healthy eating. What am I eating and why should I care? It all starts with your fork. Joining me is Dawn Underaga, just an absolutely delightful guest from the Environmental Working Group. Dawn has a MS in nutrition from Tufts University and a BS in nutritional sciences and toxicology from UC Berkeley. We are talking about a report that she helped produce, Good Food on a Tight Budget. We've talked about fruits, vegetables, grains, protein, and now we are going to talk about dairy. And before I go on, Dawn, this is what I'm hoping for this show. And I don't do this a lot. I hope that this is one of our most listened to shows since Mrs. Green started, because I think what you're sharing is not only that good, it's that important for our health, the health of our planet, and it considers everybody, including people that don't have the ability to spend $50 a meal. So thank you, and I honor you and your team for the work you've done.
Right, thank you, yes.
Yes, so let's go on to dairy. Let's talk about dairy.
So dairy is a great source of calcium, obviously, and that's why we have dairy. And one of the main things about in the milk section is to drink whole milk in moderation, because it's actually a source of dioxins and obviously calories, saturated fat. So we want to keep that in mind.
And talk about, I am so happy to say this on the air, breastfed is best fed for children under 1 year old. No problem there. Right. I'm an old La Leche member, old hippie. So it's like, if you can, really think about breastfeeding your children, even if it's for the first 3 months. Anytime is a better time.
Yes, and if and then you you know children under one you know should definitely not drink cow's milk or soy's milk or soy milk when they're under one. And another surprise when we were doing the milk section or the dairy section was that not all of the dairy products are rich in calcium. So you know I didn't realize that cream cheese and sour cream, cream and butter, I mean anything that's kind of really on the fattier spectrum in the dairy aisle actually. You know, the calcium portion of it kind of gets taken away when they consolidate the fat. So those things aren't shouldn't be thought of as, oh, I'm throwing sour cream on top of my potato, so I'm getting extra calcium.
No, unfortunately,
not the case.
Okay. And then eat less cheese. You say eat less cheese. It's really, that's devastating.
Yes, that was a really hard message for a lot of people in our office. They were, really? No, really? Really?
I mean, Please don't tell us that. Right, right.
Yeah, and really, you know, basically, it takes, you know, almost 10 gallons of milk to make, you know, one block of cheese. So it's just it's resource intensive. And you're basically, when you're making it solid, you're consolidating the saturated fat in it. So, you know, recommendations are to less than 10% saturated fat in a diet. And a lot of cheese doesn't really, it just can't fit into that really well. Low-fat cheeses, you know, you're kind of cutting out the saturated fat, but then you're adding in additives. You have more salt, usually, to make it more flavorful. So it's a balancing act for sure. So, you know, we went back and forth on, you know, okay, we should recommend low-fat cheeses or full-fat cheeses, but eating less of the full-fat cheese. But really, the main takeaway is, you know, cheese is just kind of something you should think of as kind of getting sparingly thrown on top of those greens you're maybe not so fond of.
It's devastating.
Or, you know, I know. Yeah, but really, we found that the cheeses that we could recommend that we felt good about, you know, the greenhouse gas and the fat and that actually had a good source of calcium as well, were the kind of more watery cheeses.
Right.
I don't think people even really think of a cheese like a queso blanco, a cottage cheese, a ricotta. Those are cheeses that we felt like that were the best choices, really, and most affordable. So
that was going down the page that gave me a little hope. And then I also think you should inform people about yogurt. People think, oh, I'm eating so healthy. I'm having this cup of yogurt, and it's full of not-so-good stuff.
Oh, yes, definitely. Obviously, sugar is a big, big concern. But now with people paying more attention to the sugar, we're starting to see more artificial sweeteners and additives being added in, sometimes in addition to the sugar, so that the sugar number looks lower, but you're still getting that intense sweetness a touch. So really, you know, you really should just be going with the plain yogurt and adding your fruit.
Adding your own fruit. I thought that was another great tip.
Right. Yeah. Right. No, that's best.
Okay. And then what about, how do you weigh in on, I mean, I cannot believe that anybody wants this, but it's okay to bring up. What about dry milk powder? The thought
yes,
that makes
that
me
was
go
another
like,
thing. That was another thing that, yes, people were not very thrilled. But I remember as a kid, actually, my mom, when, you know, we were on a tight budget, my mom was a waitress. So, you know, the dried milk powder is a great substitute in recipes and low cost. And so that was kind of our suggestion there because, you know, when you're on a really tight budget, you know, those things become things that you are, you know, have to cut the corners where you can.
Dawn, the truth spoken into word, we had lots of dry milk, same thing. My mom was a stay-home mom. We had four kids. We were always on a tight budget. And I remember the magic had to be to make it cold. If it was cold, it helped. And what my mom would do would be she'd buy some regular milk and do like 3/4 and 1/4 to just really help to cut down the cost. And my brothers drank a lot of milk. So it was something that really we all lived through. Just don't like drink it warm as soon as you make it because it doesn't taste any much like milk. And then another tip what I want to bring up so that you know I really did do my homework. I got into this is you can freeze cheese, which I did not know. Don't throw it away. You can freeze it.
You can freeze it, and it's best when you melt it when you're defrosting it.
Right, right.
Probably not good to slice it up and try to eat it that way.
And I thought.
And also, you,
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that shredded cheese. That's not a good buy by any stretch.
There's no upside. It's way more expensive, and a grater is just not that much work. So
no,
I thought that was really a good idea, and to substitute yogurt for cream and sour cream in recipes, because you really can get used to, I think, and enjoy that flavor.
Right, so, definitely. And yogurt actually has the benefit of calcium that sour cream doesn't.
Okay. In the time that we have left, which I knew was going to fly, the two categories you have left are cooking fats and oils and staples and spices. What do you want to say about those? Because I want to save a little time for your tips page, which I think is outstanding, and then some of the other exciting things you're working on.
Yes. Oils are better in terms of solid fats than solid fats like margarine and butter. So, those are the better things to cook with when you can. GMO oils are out there and
in abundance, right?
In abundance, and getting them for organic is a bit of a trick. So that's just something to be aware of. And then, trying different things that you might not putting butter on top of your toast, peanut or almond butter, some hummus or bean dip might be a nice thing to try out, or even avocado. That's a nice
delicious
breakfast.
Yeah, and avocado does taste like butter if you put it on bread. It's out of this world. So I love
Someone
that.
Told me it's nature's butter, and I thought that was great.
It's really, and we pretty much always have avocados here. I don't know where they come from. They're not growing on trees in Arizona, but we have them a lot because of probably our proximity to Mexico. I don't know, but I try to do the right thing. And then make your own cooking spray, another really great money-saving, healthy piece of advice that you gave in your tip section. Get a spray bottle and put your favorite oil in it, and you'll use less oil and save money. I loved that tip.
Right, definitely. And you can even mix, a more expensive oil for flavor and with a cheaper oil, too, in that spray bottle as well.
Right, it's the powdered milk and real milk combo. Back to the other topic. Okay, spices. I think staples and spices really are an important part of making our food healthier, and you have some great ideas on what you can buy in bulk or in larger sizes when they're on sale. So why don't you go over that a little bit?
Yeah, and really, in terms of spices, spices can be really expensive. And when you're trying to make cooking from home, really, if we haven't said it already, that's really when you're good food on a tight budget. It's really about cooking as much as you possibly can. And so, spices can be an expensive investment to make. So we kind of give the main basics. Having onions and garlic on hand, those are kind of, lemon juice is another thing that you just use it all over the place, and so that's a great thing to have either lemons on hand or and then cinnamon and cayenne pepper, salt and pepper. Those are kind of your basics. Those are the ones that you're going to come back to over and over again. And then we kind of had some handy to have ones, but those ones, you're not going to use as frequently as the other ones. But, yeah, spices can be expensive. And so we also suggest that you kind of try to grow your own if you can. If you got a little window space to get some light, that's a great way to save.
I think that was one of your best tips in your tip section, because with spices, you can get seeds, even if you're on the SNAP program. You can buy them.
Yes.
So
yes,
there
you can
are
buy them,
really
right.
try – whatever you can to grow your own, even in the tiniest of spaces, because that does save money. So that was one of
definitely.
Your, we're not in the tip section yet. I digress, but it was a great tip. Okay.
Right.
So now let's recap a little bit, because you did say plan and save, make a meal plan, make a shopping list. It's key to saving money and cooking healthy and serving your family healthy foods. Agree? Is that the number one tip you'd say?
That is pretty much, you know, planning, and it takes, you know, that extra step, and it's kind of, it's a little bit overwhelming at first. You're like, really? But we have some in our booklet and downloadable online. We have a meal planner. We also have a price tracker, so if you're new to a tight budget, you know, really getting a sense of what's a good deal for broccoli, what's a good deal for lemons, you know, that kind of thing is important to help you figure out, you know, where and when you should be stocking up, and then, you know, a shopping list as well. So we have those planners in the guide and downloadable online, but really planning, it takes that extra time. The first couple of times you do it, but then you get to be more proficient at it, and it really, in terms of food waste, it is incredible what taking that time to plan will do. And in terms of cost as well, you know, the more time you spend in the grocery store, you know, it's like for every minute you're in there, you're spending $2 or something ridiculous. The goal is to keep you in the store as long as possible. And so your goal is to get out of the store as fast as possible.
Get in and out and stick to your list and don't look up.
Don't look up because
all of the things that they're advertising to you, in most cases, for the most part, are not good. So plan and save. Add more fruits and vegetables. You mentioned that in the show, to your meal plan. Fill up the plate with fruits and vegetables.
Right. Half your plate should be fruits and vegetables, and we don't think of half our budget should be fruits and vegetables, but it's, you know, 40% of our budget should really be focused on that. And when you spend that on the fruits and vegetables, you know, kind of free yourself to, you know, splurge on those fruits and vegetables, and you're going to find you're going to be spending less, because those are going to be more of your centerpiece. You're going to be spending a lot less on processed foods. And so that's really a great tip as well.
It's a great tip in the way you couched it, for about the cost of a bus ride in most cities. So you have to put the framework that you put around some of these things, to me, was incredibly impressive. You can tell that I'm a fan. Add beans and lentils to your meal plan. Good, delicious, and costs a lot less.
Right. Lots of protein, less money. We got recipes in there. You know, try for at least 2 dinners a week to put them in there. You know, not a lot of people are cooking with lentils on a really regular basis. And so making sure when you're doing your meal plan, okay, do I have 2? Do I have at least 2 in here? And that'll really help in terms of cost. And it's great source of protein.
And maybe cut up some turnip greens really small and steep them into your lentil soup. It's like, I'm going to try and figure out how to do that one. Okay, and then I think that's really, really great. And the other thing is, and I don't know if we're even going to get to all the tips, which makes me sad, but I hope that everybody will go to ewg.org/goodfood. You can download the entire, everything that we're talking about. But let's talk about, if it's in a box, you probably shouldn't be buying it. Frozen pizzas, frozen foods, cookies, and soda, things to do.
Right. Yeah. Unfortunately, those are the top sources of calories in the American diet.
Calories, sugar, cost, I mean, you name it.
Right.
Exposure to toxins. Do not eat these foods or drink these sodas, right?
Right, no. No. Unfortunately, we're doing a food database, which is actually a nice way to talk about some of the exciting things we got coming out. We're looking at over 80,000 foods, and we're comparing them by nutrition, obviously, hazard concerns. You know, are there pesticide residues? Is there mercury? Are there weird additives that we don't think are concerning, shouldn't be in there? And then also degree of processing. And, you know, the more we learn, the more it's like, really, if it comes in a box, the convenience is not worth it. The convenience you're paying is a profit margin for someone else. And really, we should be cooking as much as we can and kind of steering clear of those. You know, you want to be in control of how much salt, how much sugar you're adding to your foods, and you don't really want somebody else who's trying to minimize costs and maximize profit to be making those decisions for us. So really, kind of, as much as we can cook this home and as much as we can steer clear of these foods, the better it is for our health, the planet, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, so we have less than 2 minutes left, which, you know, makes me kind of sad, very sad, actually. This could be a 2-hour show without a doubt, because I have that many more questions. I'm looking at my entire second page of questions. But there, if it's okay with you, I'd like to quickly do the 3 calls to action, and then you can add. Visit ewg.org and consider making a donation or a contribution, no matter how big or how small. EWG does not take money from any organization that processes food, makes food, manufactures food, sell foods. They raise their money through donations. They are pure. So I love that. Download the guide and carry it with you. It's no good if you download it and don't use it. Sign up for the EWG newsletter. So what's your, in your last 30 seconds, what else do you want to say, Dawn?
Cooking at home and family meals, I mean, just taking kind of the science out of it and getting into the social aspects, you know, if you can get your kids cooking, those are memories. I mean, those are great memories and such an empowering life skill that, you know, we want our children to have that ability to, you know, to cook for themselves, to take care of their families, and so, and it can also be a wonderful way to connect. It can be frustrating when we're starting, but really kind of the family meal, cooking together, those are just really great things.
Great. What a great note on which to end. Thank you for being our guest. Next week, the sixth of our 8-part series, Robin O'Brien, author of The Unhealthy Truth, How Our Food's Making Us Sick, and How Our Food is Making Us Sick and What Can Do About It. Thanks, everybody. Make it a great green week.